Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Salem is an ordinary Palestinian from Jerusalem who's down on his luck. No job, no money, no girlfriend. So he jumps at the chance to work on a popular TV soap shooting in Ramallah. It's about a beautiful Palestinian spy seducing an Israeli officer in the days leading up to the 1967 war. Problem is, Salem has to pass through Israeli checkpoints each day between Jerusalem and Ramallah to get to work and back. And after a mix-up with an Israeli military guard at the checkpoint, the officer starts using his position to pressure Salem to change the soap opera's plot. Will the TV series end with a happy ending, a happy wedding, or with Tel Aviv on fire? Tel Aviv on Fire is a new comedy about relations between Israelis and Palestinians under occupation. It's co-written and directed by award-winning Sameh Zoabi, the Palestinian filmmaker. Tel Aviv on Fire played at Venice and TIFF and is now opening in Canada. I'm very pleased to have Sameh here in studio to tell us more about Tel Aviv on Fire. Hi, Sameh. Thanks so much for coming in.
Hi, thank you. Really pleasure to be back in Toronto.
Great to have you here. So, superficially, Tel Aviv on Fire is a classic screwball comedy where the main character is forced to keep secrets from both of the sides in order to keep an inevitable conflict from blowing up. So he's caught between the two parties, the Israeli officer and the people at the TV station in Ramallah. So start by talking about Salem's conflict.
Well, it's in many ways, it's a very personal film, although it sounds like a big comedy in a sense, a big concept comedy. I'm Palestinian. I grew up inside Israel, so I do have Israeli citizenship and I have the Palestinian background. And like many Palestinians who live in Israel, almost 25% of the Israeli populations are Palestinian, who after 48 stayed on the land and became citizens. So when I start making movies, you become watched under the microscope by the other Arab Palestinian audience and by the Israelis who also watching what you're trying to tell. So it's always this kind of pressure that I grew up with as a filmmaker, where every time you write a story, every time you make a movie, everyone is like, is it too Israeli? Is it too Palestinian? And this kind of like look and attitude towards a filmmaker who is caught in that reality each time, I'm like, oh, wow, this sounds like a good movie. And so I think that was the genesis of many, or at least my personal connection to the material. And the rest, of course, it's a script, it's a story, but that came after. I almost had to find my spine in this film, and it's very personal in many ways, and it's still going on until now. Tel Aviv on Fire is out, and the question is there: is it Palestinian? Is it Israeli? Is it too much of that? Less of that? And
what is the reception within Israel and among Palestinians? Do they like it? Which side do people, are they offended?
I think in general it's surprisingly, it's, you know, I had a screening in Haifa and I had, you know, half the audience were Palestinians, the other half Israelis, and they were laughing at the same jokes, and it went really well, actually. So, you know, Salem's dilemma in the film is to please everybody.
Right.
And it turned out that the film itself did that in many ways, subconsciously, I don't know, or consciously.
And has it played in Ramallah?
No, not yet. I haven't released it in the Middle East yet. I think we started, our first country to release was France. We started in April 3rd because it's part of the
production. Oh, yeah, the distributor is French, right?
Yeah, we have French distribution. We sold it to almost all of Europe, North America, and because of the major funding came from Europe, actually. So we started the distribution there.
The movie's in mainly in Arabic, but also in Hebrew. And the main character gets his job because he speaks Hebrew and he's able to correct the script of the soap opera, which is called Tel Aviv on Fire. Now, can you talk about the role of language and what it played in the film?
Of course, I mean, you know, I grew up, I speak to the the two languages, Arabic and Hebrew. I mean, Arabic is my first language. That's what we speak at home, go to school as well. And, you know, it's a very interesting because as a Palestinian growing up in Israel, you almost live in a segregated community. We don't really, we live parallels with the Israelis. We have our own towns, our own system of education. It's all in Arabic. And Hebrew is a language we learn as a second language that we start learning maybe third or fourth grade. And then after high school, we are forced to face the Israeli larger society because we have to go to universities. We have, and I went to Tel Aviv University.
Right.
And I spent three and a half years there studying film and English literature, actually, before I got a scholarship to, I got a Fulbright to continue my master's at Columbia University in New York. And that kind of like the language, that the separation, all of this is, you know, in the film is playing a major role in that, in how the Israelis are perceiving the Palestinians and how these Palestinians are perceiving the Israelis, and each one is trying to write the narrative from their own perspective of the other, is I think what where the comedy is. It's basically stereotypes, if we were to put it in simple terms. I mean, you know, two people living side by side in a sense, but they have a lot of, you know, differences, as you know, in terms of politically and socially. And so I think, you know, we have developed that kind of like, we know what the Israelis think about us and they know what we think about them. And it's just, but nobody talks about it. So suddenly a movie comes and wants to deal with exactly that thing that nobody wants to talk about. And language becomes part of it. And so it's an interesting, you know, it wasn't an easy script to write because it did maneuver around perceptions all the time. And but I think, you know, it was successful because I know both sides very well. I grew up in, you know, this is a unique perspective that I have as a filmmaker and someone who grew up there. So
now the character Salem is from Jerusalem, but he's not an Israeli citizen in the film, right? Or is he?
He is.
He is.
Yeah.
So are, huh? Interesting. I just assumed he was from the occupied territory. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because that's, so he goes, he's from Jerusalem.
Right.
So but, he's from.
Oh, so is everyone from, okay.
So everyone from, Jerusalem is a very,
I mean, it's very complex, I know. I wouldn't
it's
even
more
try to.
Yeah, it's more complex because it's occupied in 67.
Right.
And people there are not full citizens.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah.
They're not full citizens, but on the, I mean, I played, I didn't really, I was not very specific in a sense where exactly which part he, my main character is around Jerusalem. So he could have Israeli citizenship or he could not. But,
right. It does. It's not specific, but I want to talk about the checkpoints, which is a central element of the film. And can you explain what it is in the occupied territories, Palestinians to go from one part to another often have to pass through Israeli checkpoints, show IDs, stand in line, go through this arduous process every day. Can you talk about that? And can you tell me, you would have an Israeli passport, but have you ever encountered this sort of situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, having an Israeli passport being Palestinian is not, you know,
it's not the same.
It's not. We are right. Second-class citizens.
Right.
I mean, you know, also with all these new legislation that Netanyahu's government made, where, you know, it's a Jewish state and we are not part of it. We're not part
very,
of it.
Very, very frightening.
So it's not that, you know, no, this is the reality of Palestinians everywhere. I mean, Palestinians live in different pockets now because of the occupation, because of, you know, the establishment of Israel. I mean,
so patchwork divided by Israeli settlements within the occupied territories.
Exactly. So we have, you have Palestinians who live inside Israel, you have Palestinians who live in the West Bank and Gaza, and then you have refugees. So we, and that's what I always say. It's a, you know, our films, you know, Palestinian cinema has evolved with time. And I think what's interesting about it, it's very diverse in telling the different narrative of Palestinians. So someone like me who, as I said, knows the two languages, grew up, they can tell that story. But someone else who grew up as a refugee might not be able to and will not be interested maybe even in telling that story.
And it's not just the language and the feelings. As people say that history is written by the country that wins a war. And you set the movie within the movie in 1967, before the war, before that part of the occupation of West Bank and Gaza and Golan Heights, places like that, or that many. I don't. Yeah. So can you talk about the narrative, the telling of history by the two sides?
Well, this is, I mean, you know, the film is a film, you know, has a soap opera that takes place in 67, but it also has the reality now. So when I wrote the script, you know, when I understood that he would be stopped and the officer, Israeli officers will try to change the narrative of the soap opera, I was asking myself what type of TV show I want to tell.
Right.
What kind, soap operas also have different ways of shooting, different way of acting than a real TV series. And I grew up watching a lot of soap operas. I mean, that's the only channels we had, really. Mm-hmm. And so
where were they broadcast?
From Egypt, from, you know, they were on Jordanian TV, from mostly coming from Egypt. And, you know, the month of Ramadan, it was like a marathon of, you know, million soap operas competing on air. And so we grew up watching, even now, you know, we have a lot of Turkish soap opera dubbed. But anyway, the culture of soap opera is very strong in the Middle East. And for me to find that perfect story that I can tell, and it was like, for me, it was like, oh. The occupation, the checkpoint, the reality now is because of that war.
Very much so.
And I said, if we set it in that time, we can play the history and the present time, and we can actually talk about the present time using the history through the show. And it's very interesting because soap operas, and why is it soap opera? Because soap operas have something that other TV shows don't have, which is, if people watch cinema, soap opera is funny because it's overacting, it's over the top. So it has, by nature, you know, if you watch it, it's a little bit ridiculous in a sense. But also what it has is which was my perfect tool to deal with the political reality, is that you can say whatever you want. The actors in soap opera can have lines without subtext. Like, they can say it as is. And so for me, like, okay, I can say whatever I want politically. Nobody's going to say, oh my God, this is like propaganda, because it's a show. That's the way they deal with it. So I use that to deal with how the occupation now affecting people and how. But you know, it's not just about the occupation. I was trying to also, I guess, in the film, to move forward past the occupation. For me, Oslo. I grew up in time of Oslo. So I was 19. That was the time when I was in college in Tel Aviv.
It was a very hopeful time.
Exactly. So I was like, you know, to be a Palestinian, talk about your background as Palestinian was okay. And I think, you know, there was a sense like, okay, we will be living next to each other together somehow. But then 20 years after, we are in the total opposite side of Oslo. The occupation increased, the checkpoint increased, the settlement increased, there's no sense of hope. So for me, the story in many, many ways, it talks about that reality of despair where people are lost. They have, you know, they look to change the narrative to look for a better place. So the film plays in that thing. Like, you know, this generation, my generation, 20 years after, like, okay, we don't have leadership. We don't know what's going on. It's all about managing the occupation. The walls are increasing between people. And for me, I was like, okay, let me talk about this, but let me see, how can we refigure this out? How can we empower this new generation that is jaded by Oslo to create a sense of hope? So the film is not, in a sense, it's a comedy and all of this, but it's serious in a way that deals with the reality of the history, the now, but it's shed a light to the future as well, in many ways.
Finally, I'm just wondering, were you ever pressured to change your script?
I'm always pressured to change my script because everyone reads, you know, we make films through funds in Israel, we make films through funds in Europe and sometimes in the US, and everyone has a perspective on the conflict. So everyone's trying to push their own agenda. And I think that's what was the genesis of this whole thing, is how people see the conflict and how they want it to be represented. And everyone's worried about their image in it. But for me, I never fall into this. What I did is I made a movie about it.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Sameh Zoabi's great new comedy, Tel Aviv on Fire, opens August 2nd, next Friday, in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.